Discuss a number of issues that relate to the Parsha Balosa. The Parsha Balosa, as you undoubtedly are aware, picks up from the very beginning. There are a number of topics that are found in Balosa, and at first glance, we are rather baffled at the connection between all of these different topics. So what I'm going to share with you initially, what I heard from Harav Soloveitchik in the Bracha on a number of occasions, that would explain the continuity of the different themes that are found actually here in the Parsha Balosa, the other Chumashim, if you just begin them out. And then, subsequently, I hope to examine two particular Parshas in Balosa, in this Hashem, time permitting, and I would like to look at the Ramban and those Parshas as well. Let's examine the what seems to be eight narratives that I've discussed in the Parsha Balosa. At the very beginning of Balosa, the Torah describes the menorah as a well-known Rashi, I assume you're familiar with, where Rashi comments, Lama Nisbechal, Parsha's menorah, why is the section dealing with menorah, found after the section dealing with the offering of the Nisian. And Rashi has a famous comment. Rashi says, when Aaron saw the dedication, offering of the princes, he became very uneasy. Hashem said, don't worry, Chayecha Shalcha Gdolah Mishalayim, your Chelek is greater than theirs, Shatamabu Gomekim Zaneris. You're going to be the one who will kindle, you're going to be the one who will set in order the lamps. And those Aaron is comforted by his assignment to kindle the menorah. And now, just take a look subsequently, I'm reading now Perek Ches, starting with Pasuk K. So what is the theme that's being described over there, beginning of Pasuk K? This is the parasha of sanctifying the Levim. It's essentially they're being consecrated ritually to perform their duties in the Mishkan. That's the first narrative after the menorah, is the topic of Kedushas HaLevim. That goes all the way till approximately Paratess. Paratess, Pasagal. What do we have there? A famous description of what din? Look in Paraktes, starting from Pasuk Galef, going all the way till Pasuk Chesron, description of Pesach Sheni. That's the second topic that's being discussed over here. Pesach Sheni, of course, is an opportunity for those who were not able to bring the Karban Pesach the first time around. They're prevented by Tuma, or perhaps they were B'derech Recholka, they were far away. Now they're given a second opportunity to go ahead and bring the Karban Pesach. And this issue in Paraktes, you'll take a look, when did this problem actually come to the fore? It came to the fore in the second year. Pasuk says in Pasuk Galav, Vayidabri Hashem Moshe B'Midbar Sinai, Vashon HaShenis, Lutzeisom Eretz Mitzrayim, Vacholosh HaRishon Neymor. And again, the question is, what is the continuity between Kiddush Shalavim and Pesach Sheni? They seem to be totally unrelated events. Literally, one has no connection with the other. We have a number of parshas and chumash where this problem comes up. Namely, where do you have many, many mitzvahs that seemingly are strung together in what seems to be a very disparate and unrelated kind of way?
But Shmita Har Sinai.
I was about to use that expression, but you... No, that's not what I'm referring to. That is true. But there are really two major parshas of Chumash that have probably rather lengthy lists of mitzvahs, and we don't seem to understand the connection between one and the next. There's almost no connection, organically, I'm saying. The continuity and the continuum leads a lot to the desire. So parasha number one is the parasha in Kiseitse, is example number one, and example number two is Kedoshim. Those are the two major parashas. Here we're focused on Balos, but it doesn't have that many mitzvahs, but it has many narratives seemingly unrelated one to the other. So, and on each one we're going to ask, Ma'in Shmita Itzla Sinai. So we began with Kedusha Salavim, we then moved to Pesach Sheni. And then after Pesach Sheni, let's continue, starting with Perek Tes Pasuk Tes Vav, and let's say going all the way to Perek Yud. What is the topic over there that's being described and discussed? The answer is the Amud HaOna. We're talking about Klal Yisrael traveling, and when they traveled, of course, they were dependent upon two rather very significant forces, and they are the Amud HaEish and the Amud HaOna. As the Torah here describes, as you can see, a very lengthy description, starting from Pasuk Tezvav, going all the way till Pasuk, through Pasuk of Gimel. Till the next chapter, till Perek Yud, we have the Amud HaAnan, the Amud HaEish, and depending on the hovering cloud, if you will, which at nighttime appears a ball of fire, that's when they decided whether they're going to travel or not travel. Again, the same question. Ma Inyan Shmita Eitzah HaSina. What's the connection between this parsha and the previous two? It seems to be again unrelated, similarly, and we don't see any connection. Let's get now to the fourth discussion, which of course is relevant to Rosh Hashanah. Perek Yud, going all the way till, let's say, Pasuk Aleph. We have here the story of what? Of the two chatzotzos. There's a din of two chatzotzos, and in these two chatzotzos, the Torah describes in Pasuk Aleph and Beis, "Asel v'shnei chatzotzos keser, mikshot asel so." They're made of one piece. And what were their functions? Two functions. Vayulacha, lemikra ha'eda, which means they were functioning for what purpose? To gather the people. Lemikra ha'eda, where do you find the similar lashon referred to a number of times? Mikroi kodesh. The Torah in Hebrew describes these jumps as the mikra kodesh. And the Ramban Chumash, the way the art scroll actually and many other English translations usually translate, namely, a holy day of convocation. Convocation meaning to gather. The Ramban on the spot is the one with mechadish that interpretation. So here the chatzotzos function, the mikro ha'eda, the masas ha'machanos. And also when they traveled, obviously Yehuda is leading, Yisachar is following, but here you have clearly a very obvious, two functions of the chatzotzos. And then the Torah goes on to describe it in the middle of Perek Yud, starting from Yud Aleph, and continuing. In Pasuk Chavtes, again, we have a further discussion, and this discussion seems to be perhaps somewhat related, perhaps not related, namely, what happens in starting from Chavtes, Perek Yud, all the way to the end of the Perek, the discussion between Moshe Rabbeinu and his father-in-law. Moshe Rabbeinu tries to convince his father-in-law of the, significance of their going to Eretz Yisrael, and he asks him to accompany us. Initially, what is his reaction, Yisrael? No, he refuses, and then Moshe Rabbeinu makes a second effort, a second attempt. I'm going to discuss this, I hope, Mitzvah Hashem, separately. And the Torah does not tell us exactly what happened regarding this second attempt on the part of Moshe Rabbeinu. Then, of course, we have, after this Pasha, again, one by yes, Ma'inin Shemitah Eitzah HaSina, here also, what's the connection between this particular Pasha and the previous discussion? Then we have, of course, the inverted nuns that are found in Perek Yud, Pasuk Lamed Hei, Lamed Vav. I assume you're not familiar with. Rashi discussed it in Gemara Shabbos. We have actually a similar Gemara that is relevant to Masechet Rosh Hashanah. Namely, the Gemara there also speaks about Samonios. The Gemara talks about Simonim, Achim Erekin, and Simonim, and we also have Nuns that are relevant here. Whoever can answer this question, it's a sign that he's familiar with Masechet Rosh Hashanah. Those who can't answer it, it's a sign they're not as familiar with Masechet Rosh Hashanah. Hopefully, they'll become more familiar with that. Where else do we have in Gemara Masechet Rosh Hashanah a Gemara that relates to nuns? The Gemara correct? And what does the Gemara talk about? Excellent. Mind-boggling. Pasuk in Tehillim. Relating to what issue? That's already a bit of a stretch to ask you that far. But it's exactly the same issue. We're talking about inverted nuns that are found twice in Tanakh. Once in Tehillim, and the other is found over here, Tilum where? Kuf Zayin. The one that deals with the Biras HaGomel, Abarat Tzvich and Mahodas, the Gemara Menachas, the Gemara Brachas. That's the Gemara Nafi Zayin Rosh Hashanah. And also here we have the Ibrahim Nunim. But again, the same question that comes to the fore is Ma HaKesher. And then, what will happen following? Paragidal. What does Paragidal deal with? The story of the Safsuf. Who are the Safsuf? The complainers, correct? The whalers, the complainers that had this tremendous desire, and as a result of that desire, the Torah describes a tragedy that occurred. And then the Pasha ends, we're now in Perek Yud Aleph. The last part of the Pasha, of course, is the story, which also is, I assume, fairly well known to you. The story of Eldad and Medad, Misnat and Bamachaneh, also needs a lot of analysis, and the back and forth relating to that. And then, beyond that, we have the slab that the Torah describes and the unbelievable, insatiable appetite. They almost went berserk. It's almost as if you have somehow doggies decided to come to Eretz Yisrael and Vayasu es aslov, the Torah says, in Perek Yidal, Pasuk Lamedbez Lamedgimel, Hamamit Asav Asoch Hamarim, Vayishu Vayem Shatoch Sivus Hanachane, and then also we have the terrible plague that breaks out as a result of that. And in the end of the parasha, Yudbeis, is the last narrative that speaks about the dialogue between who and whom, between Miriam, Aaron, on the one hand, Moshe Rabbeinu on the other hand. That's when you have, of course, another very, very famous and probably one of the most significant sukkim in Chumash that relates to the status of Moshe Rabbeinu as a Navi, markedly different than Shaar Naviim. Shiram describes a great length in Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah, and this needs 150 shiurim, really, just to spell out all the distinction between Moshe Rabbeinu, his level of Nebuah, and that of Shaar Naviim. So we have many, many narratives. Maybe let's just sum up all the narratives that we have here. Number one again, Menorah. Number two, Kiddush HaLeviyim. Number three, Beis Hashem. Number four. Amun Ha'anan Va'esh. Number five. Yisrael. Number six. Hatzotzos. Number seven. Yisrael and the like. Number eight. Misodanim. Safsuf. Number nine. Okay, but first we have Kud Elder the Maidon and that which precedes it. And then finally, number 10, Mir Aaron of Moshe. It's absolutely unbelievable. It's almost mind-boggling. Absolutely, what seem to be 10 independent, autonomous narratives, one having nothing to do with each other, and having explained the connection between them. So, Rav Soloveitchik Zechem Livracha presented the following thesis, which is so poshut. And so, of course, once you hear it, you'll say, elementary, my dear Watson. It's obvious that it's so basic and fundamental you can't imagine how good we ourselves did not think about it. But the problem is we don't read the Psukim carefully enough as he did. Let's start from the very beginning. After the menorah, the Kiddush HaLeviyim that the Torah describes is clearly for the purpose of consecrating the Leviyim. And what is the function of the Leviyim? The Torah tells us actually, even though they already were consecrated twice before, in Pasha Sav, you have a Chumash in front of you, you can actually see it. Look at Pasha Sav in Vayikra. In Parakhes of Vayikra, which is Pasha Sav, read right before Pesach, I'm not going to read the entire, all the Pesukim, but you see there, Kaches Aron, this one of Yitzhak, this Abgodim, and Moshe Rabbeinu went ahead and brings Aaron and his children and all the preparations that were necessary are found over there. So you have that found once before, and you also have it in Tetzaveh in the Parakhates of Shmos. Also you have the idea of Kedushas HaLeviyim, but it's very clear that the Leviyim, as you know, that their function of course is, what were the two major functions of the Beis HaMikdash or the Mishkan?
Shira.
Shira, number one. Shira. And number two, Shmira. Excellent. Shira and Shmira. Or the way the Gemara expresses it, they were the Mishorim and the Shorarim. That's the Lashon of the Gemara, all of Shas. But you are correct. You put it very nicely. Shira and Shmira. That's a good way to remember it. I like it. Anyway, you have, after the Kedushas HaLeviyim story, you have the Parsha of Pesach Sheni. Now this makes sense, because it's very clear that what is the whole idea of Pesach Sheni? Pesach Sheni clearly refers to those who were not able to observe the Karban Pesach for the first time, now given their second opportunity. And there is certainly a continuity between the Kedushas HaLeviyim, and that brings about the institution of Pesach Sheni. And now we're about to, however, and this is really what it lies behind, and I would say even overviews the entire Parsha, and that's why you have a lot of discussion about traveling, namely the march. And that's really the critical element of probably the entire Parsha. What march are we talking about? The march to the Promised Land, obviously. The march to Eretz Yisrael. It's all the foretold freedoms that we spoke about, Vatesi, Vitalti, Vigalti, Vilakachti, are about to come to fruition, come to realization. And now, of course, we're going to come, hopefully, to the fifth reading to be translated into reality, namely, Veivesi, the so-called fifth cup. And the march was going to take several days. Chazal indicate, Rashi quotes it, Hashem actually wanted to bring us immediately into Eretz Yisrael. And that's why, what comes next? The Pasha of the Amun Ha'anan, the pillar of cloud, which was, if you will, what function did the pillar of cloud serve? It was GPS, writ large. That was the Amun Ha'anan. It was, sorry?
It also protected them also.
Unquestionably.
It was GPS with a gun.
Thank you. It was their travel guide par excellence. And then we're also informed at the same time how the camps marched, the precise order of the Shvatim, and the signal system of communication was through what means? Through the Shtechat Zotzos. Again, we're continuing along our merry way. And now when you read the Psukim, you have a sense of unbelievable tension and great expectancy, great excitement that permeates actually the entire narrative. The Pasuk says, and this is really a very striking Pasuk. I'm reading now Perek Yud, Pasuk Gimel. After the discussion with Yisrael, of course that discussion also relates to the march to Eretz Yisrael. Join us and you'll be a part of it, a part of this great march. And following that, Pasuk Lama Gimel, Vayisu Mehar Hashem Derech Shloshes Yomim, the very famous Ramban here, Ram Shabbos, also famous. V'aro Bris Hashem Noseh Alifneim Derech Shloshes Yomim Nosu Lehem Menucha V'anan Hashem Aleim Yomam Bin Nosa Bin Anachaneh. They journeyed from the mountain of the Lord, Har Sinai, 3 days' journey, and the Arav went before them. The clouds are above them, showing the way. The Chatzotzros are regulating their movements. There is a mood of triumphant movement, of mobilization, of rigid discipline at the same time. The emotional state of the people is more apparent when you listen to Kriyas HaTorah, because here you sense the people are in a state of exaltation, as they're about to, as I say, hopefully realize the ultimate goal, which of course Hashem Yisbarach had promised them. And that goal, of course, is already mentioned. I assume you're familiar with it. But just look at the language when Moshe Rabbeinu tells Yisrael, Perek Yud, Pasuk Chavtes, Nosim Anachnu, El Amokim Hashem Amar Hashem. Rasalej used to be Medayik in the Psukim. It doesn't say Anachnu Nosim, but rather Nosim Anachnu. Someone who has a good chush for the evil language, know that you have a good chush. What's the difference between Anachnu Nosim and Nosim Anachnu? And I'll welcome Hashem Hashem. What we say is the distinction between here the order is inverted. In one case we say Anachnu Nosim, we are traveling. And the other case we're saying Nosim Anachnu. Which one would you say expresses a feeling of total assurance of what's going to follow, where we see the confidence of Moshe Rabbeinu was unqualified, there's going to be an immediate fulfillment in Mediamenta without absolutely any further delays, no procrastination. The language is of Nosim Anachnu, no question about it. And I can discuss the Alpidikdom, but I don't want to do it right now. It will take us far afield. So that's what Moshe Rabbeinu is underscoring. And the emphasis, of course, on the word Nosim. If you say Anachnu Nosim, the emphasis is on which word? Anachnu. If you say Nosim Anachnu, the clear emphasis is on the language of the Nesiyah, the actual travel is taking place. And that's why the die has been cast, the course is irrevocable, they are moving, they are marching. And therefore the invitation to Israel is not just the communication between the son-in-law to his father-in-law, or if you will, one individual offering another individual to share. It's much more than that. And here our Salvation used to get very dramatic. You can accept this, and I accept it. The Rav interpreted this parasha as meaning that Moshe Rabbeinu essentially representing Klal Yisrael, was inviting all would-be proselytes. Israel representing, of course, shall we say, the world of Gerim, the world of proselytes, they're being invited to essentially join us in hopefully coming to the promised land. And of course it would require Gir Ka'alacha. I'm not going to get into all the issue of Geiris and all the Dinim of Geiris, which is relevant to Rus and relevant to this, but whatever the case is, the point is that had Moshe Rabbeinu entered Eretz Yisrael, Chazal say, the Messianic era would have, at that point, would have concretized. And Jewish history would have been totally and completely transformed and metamorphosed. It would have been a completely, totally different situation. And that's why following that, we have, the Torah describes here, then, after Vayisu Mehar Hashem, Vayi Bitzah Aharon Vayom Moshe, Kuma Hashem V'yafutzu Ha'ivecha, V'yadusu V'sanecha T'ipanecha. He didn't sing it, if he so desired. Did they sing it in Hungary?
Even if they would be singing, I wouldn't be able to hear it because they talk so much there.
Anyway, Vayihi Bitzah Aharon, the sense, as I said, of Moshe Rabbeinu is issuing a pretty declarative statement. V'yafutzu Ha'ivecha, we're simply going to mow them down, pulverize them. V'yanusu Misanecha V'yiparecha. However, we now then suddenly, in Medis Res, we have a parsha that shall we say, almost totally and completely undoes and negates literally everything that unfortunately was would have been in place, and now tragically it's not going to take place. And that is the Pasha of Misamdim and the Pasha of Kibbutz HaTava. I'm not going to go through all the details that are described actually by Chazal, but in a sense what happened was the Messianic March was not consummated. Moshe Rabbeinu, simply the Kibbutz HaTava episode, frustrated this glorious prospect, and essentially the moment of expectancy of Ayyid Tzar Aron, tragedy struck, and all Jewish history literally in one fell swoop was undone, was negated. And that's what the Torah describes in the story of the Nisonim and the Kibbutz HaTayv episode. It aroused the wrath of Hashem. Moshe himself resented it. Moshe himself denounced it. And for the first time, Moshe refused to defend Klal Yisrael because they had interrupted the great march, the vision of imminent Geula that would have taken place. And now it became a distant and uncertain kind of prospect. Basically, the Kibbutz HaTayv incident and the Nisonim showed that there was still a sense of paganism that persisted among Klal Yisrael. And Rashi comments over here. Rashi comments in Perek Yud Aleph. I assume you're familiar with the Rashi. Pasuk Dalit Ba'asatsu V'asher Bekirbo Is'abu Ta'ava V'yashuv V'yivku Gam V'yisor V'yomu V'yachlir Basa. Rashi indicates that they had plenty of cattle. So what does flesh mean? Flesh means that which is fleshy, that which is sensual. They were looking for sensual delights. Then essentially they were, all their complaints were euphemistic representations against the sexual restraints that Hashem is Baruch and imposed upon them at Har Sinai. Rashi comments, Bochel and Mishmach also, based on Chazal. Whatever the case is, the march was suddenly halted. The section by Ibn Zahra became displaced, as Rashi explains. Shein Zeb in Koma, Rashi calls the Gemara in Shabbos, and now it's inverted. And Moshe Rabbeinu realized that the people are no longer worthy of entering Eretz Yisrael. Here, how Rav Soloveitchik saw the entire parsha, which I think is, I would say, the Pshuto Shel Mikra in many, many respects. And then, of course, Moshe Rabbeinu also realized that his role has changed. For those who have the book, Reflections of the Rav, which you should own, Volume 1, minimally, and hopefully Volume 2 as well. Is anyone familiar with it?
Is it written by
Rabbi Kepha? No, it's written by Yom Evez, Rabbi Kepha, and Hashem should give Rabbi Chassam and Kishonim. Amen. 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 And hopefully Amen. 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 Rabbi Bezdin was a Talmud of Asal Beshin, and an outstanding Rabbi, and he actually, in these two volumes, he captures in a number of essays a lot of what Rav Soloveitchik had to say in many different areas, and he has an essay on the Kibbutz HaTava episode. A very famous essay, very beautiful essay, where he points out the role of Moshe Rabbeinu now changed. Moshe Rabbeinu became a kind of nursing mother, a nursing father, if you will, and the reason is because he realized that Klal Yisrael was not able to somehow continue the direction that he had given until now, the kind of leadership which was more of an intellectual leadership, if you will. Now they needed more of an emotional kind of leadership. Very fascinating analysis Rav Soloveitchik has of the parsha over here. And the Miriam incident, which includes the Sedra, also follows logically, because if you recall there, Moshe Rabbeinu, his power as a Navi is really sweet, generous, unique, distinctive, Lochein Abdi Moshe, B'chol Beisi Nemahu, but essentially what we have here in the entire parsha is an unfortunate and very tragic metamorphosis. What could have been, and ultimately what was. And it's all related to the march, the triumphant march that was stopped in its tracks. That is essentially the continuity that the Torah has here. And what I would like to explore, however, what I'm telling you now is, I didn't hear from Rav Soloveitchik, but I believe it's the Pshuto Shel Mikra. And you have in front of you, for those who have the text, a Ramban. Before we read the Ramban, let's read the text itself. And we'll be able to, do you have a copy of this also? I want to read the text that splits it out in Perek Yud, starting with Pasuk Chavtes. I want to explore a little bit this parsha, the discussion between Moshe and his father-in-law. All this is by way of the backdrop that we just spoke about, our salvation analysis of all the different narratives in the parsha. Pasuk says, "Vayomer Moshe, L'chobav ben Ruel ha-midyani chosei Moshe. Moshe says to his father-in-law, Nosim anachnu el ha-mokim ha-she'omer Hashem, also atein lachem. We're about to travel to the place that Hashem told us. L'cho yitaru ve'itav l'vav. Join us. Ki Hashem diber tov al Yisrael. And as you mentioned, what is the response of Yisrael? Vayom re'ilav lo elech. Pretty concrete and, shall we say, graphic, no. Or as they say in Hebrew, lo with a capital L. I don't know why they say it that way. It's supposed to lo with a capital L.
Left to right.
Correct. Left to right is right. Vayom re'ilav lo elech. I'm going home. I don't want to be a part of this. I'm not interested. Leave me alone. I'm going to the fair pastures of, where do you live?
Midian.
Moshe Rabbeinu now attempts a second effort. Don't leave us. Don't abandon us. Don't abandon us. Because you know about our encampments in the desert, and you can be for us, referring to what? You'll be a kind of scout or guide. And then the pasuk continues, and that which Hashem, in effect, that which is, so what happened? What was Yisrael's response to this second effort on the part of Moshe Rabbeinu? Do we know? The Torah doesn't tell us. Leaves it up in the air. A kind of mystery. But there are certainly two possibilities. Either that Yisrael actually acquiesced and agreed, and the question is, what exactly happened the second time that would perhaps have convinced him that didn't appear in the first attempt of Bada Moshe Rabbeinu to bring him on board? What's the distinction between the two? So, as you notice, look at the psukim carefully, and perhaps you will tell me the distinction between the two. The one who, of course, is always on this is the Rabban. That's what the Rabban comes for. That's his primary function, to really read between the lines. And the Ramban does an unbelievable job. He's incredibly creative. Moshe Rabbeinu Lechura, at first glance, both occasions. Look at the first time. Moshe Rabbeinu told him in Pasuk Chavtes, Lecho Yitaru Ve'itav L'Loch. And the same language is also used the second time. And Moshe Rabbeinu pleaded with him a second occasion, Lami Beis, Voya Tovahu Asheyetir Hashem Yimano Ve'itav L'Loch. So what exactly was suggested in effort number two that was not suggested in effort number one? And why did Yisrael seemingly, perhaps, Chazal, and Rashi actually quotes it in Fasal Lamed Beis. You have a Chumash in front of you, you can see that Rashi takes the tack that Yisrael actually agreed. He acquiesced. Rashi refers to exactly what area, what exactly is being given to Yisrael. Rashi refers here to a famous Chazal. But I'm asking, what do you see in number two that you don't see in number one? So look at the Ramban that you have in front of you. I just want to read the Ramban and show you how the Ramban reads the Pesukim, how carefully he reads them. I'm reading Pasuk Chavtes. You have it? Vayom Moshe L'Chobav, the sheep that was Xeroxed. Vayom Moshe L'Chobav, Fakhi Rashdi, that the name Chobav, Ki Chobav Shem Chadash, Shekar L'Yisro Kasher Shovel Taras Yisrael. It's a name he was given when he decided to become a committed Jew. Everyone knows that a Yiddi Ger, their name is changed. Fine. So the Ramban said the first time, what did Moshe Rabbeinu simply say to Yisrael? Stop. What does it mean? We'll do good to you. So what did Yisrael think? What will it get from the booty? Correct? Namely, that which they capture, whether it's gold, silver, raiment, cattle. But what will he not have? He will not have a nachla in Eretz Yisrael. Hashem promised him all kind of material goods. L'chol yitanu ve'itavnu loch, but not a nachala. The Alkain said the Ramban, l'hoi lo chetetz. He had no interest. What did he want? He wanted a dalar amas neretz yisrael, which every Jew inherently owns. He wanted, that's a Gemara Bava Basra. Every Jew owns dalar amas neretz yisrael, and that's what he wanted. I have a problem. Did you not say something? My problem though is not what you think it is. My problem is I love Bava Basra. Baruch Hashem. Beautiful. To me, Bava Basra is like that method, the message I quoted the other day, from the Benar Samar, which was about which Masechta? Chagiga. And you can just substitute Bava Basra as far as I'm concerned. Anyway, so the Rabban says that the reason why he was rejected the first time around, because Moshe promised him material goods, and he wanted a piece of property, a piece of real estate in Eretz Yisrael. Rabban continues. The other, what is the answer here? So, Kiyim Alarzi Yelalanti Yelech, Kisham Li Nachlon Nechasa Lekavav. Why do I have to come to Eretz Yisrael? I don't have to go there. I have real estate and prestige and honor in my home country of Midyan. Oz Amal Moshe, then Moshe used a different tag. Al Na Tazom Osana. Look at the way it's expressed the second time around. In Pasuk Lamed Aleph. First time, Moshe Rabbeinu simply said, we're traveling, come with us, and we'll provide you with material goods. Now Moshe Rabbeinu uses a different approach. What do you see in the second approach of Moshe Rabbeinu to Ramban is pointing out? Moshe Rabbeinu now begins to, how does he speak to him? Number one, he indicates to him that
we need
you, correct. It's a very significant change in approach. When you go to a person and tell him, here, come with me, I'll give you X and Y. That did not satisfy Yisrael. And as the way the Ramban interprets, he wasn't going to get a piece of real estate. So what did Moshe do? He changed his tact. He changed his entire approach. And now the approach is, you are someone who is clearly not only a VIP, but someone who is significant and important. Let me just finish the Ramban. You know the desert. You are like a, like the Bedouin tribes who are able to, the scouts who are able to navigate the terrain. And not only that, we will also, says the Ramban, we will give you a piece of real estate. Ramaz. You help us, we will give you a piece of real estate. Now, where did Ramban see all this? So, just take a look at the pasuk again. Laman al. Vayomer al not tazav osanu ki al kein yadata chanosenu b'midbar. It's clear that he now speaks to him in a different kind of tone. Initially, he tried to sort of impose himself upon Yisrael. That didn't work. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu says, together, it will be a partnership. You will join us, you will help us, you'll navigate the terrain, you'll be the scout, as it were. And look at the language in Pasuk Lamed Beis, and then you'll speak. V'hoya kiselech imanu, v'hoya atobahu ha'shehite v'hashem imanu, v'etabnu lo. It's a totally different language. The language changes. I would have to explore it much more carefully with you. I don't have time to do it now, that's what I do in the Tehillim Shurim and Chalal Shurim. But you can trust me, the Ramban saw here two different approaches. And the Pesukim seem to indicate that, and the way Rashi understood that Yisrael was maskin to the second approach, and apparently, as a result of that, he became a ger and he received the Chelek HaNetz Yisrael. The Ramban, by the way, I just mentioned, he quotes the Yerushalmi at the end of that piece, the last two lines of the Ramban. V'kach omer Yerushalmi Bikurim Paragal Vachadavid, when they came to Chosin Moshe Beviyah Bikurim, they could bring Bikurim and read the Parsha. V'tziv L'chol Yitanu V'etav L'loch. Means what did he receive? Chazal said he received the Ramban, which unfortunately is right now not in our hands, in the hands of Palestinians. What city was that? Yericho. Dosha She Yericho was given to the to Yisrael and his descendants, based on a pasuk actually Tanakh and Shoftim. And here, the Shabbat is saying that they're able to say and bring Bikurim based on that. Yes?
Who is that? That Anan to be a GPS and live in the desert?
Yes, but Uchozo, despite the fact that you have a GPS, I can tell you, I also own a GPS. And half the time it doesn't work. Because half the time there are buildings, and half the time there are other kinds of, for example, I drove not long ago, I was invited to a wedding in a area, what's that area called? You have to travel through the, going south, in the desert area.
Elad?
Not Elad, that's far down.
Negev.
Not the Negev, it's just basically you go, after Baalei Adumim, way after Baalei Adumim, I don't know if you know that area. Yericho, come back that area, Yericho. And my GPS, all of a sudden, there are mountains on both sides, sand dunes, literally, massive sand dunes and massive mountains. And the GPS just keeps telling me, Peshaw Mechadash, Peshaw Mechadash. That means, Rechagline. That went off there. A little bit later, I ended up in a, shall we say, Arab refugee camp. That was not too good. Luckily, Tzahal was there, and they saved my skin. They got me out of there very quickly, and they told me, Ishtakata? You just lost it? Where do you think you are? I'm just driving along very in my way. Anyway, so that's why GPS is not always, shall we say, 1,000% reliable. Even when you're driving in New York, the GPS, and you have these massive buildings, and sometimes you basically have no functioning. Okay, but I'm not, that's, I'm just giving you a response to your question, but my interest is not really that. Yes?
Why was he allowed to get a Feilat in Ezra's if...
They're asking an extra that needs a lot of exploration.
Also, why don't
you're asking Mitzad a basic halacha. You're asking Mitzad a Sifri. I thought, I assume that's what you're asking based on. Rabbi Yonah, here from the Sifri. The Sifri says in Bamidbar, let's see where we, if we can find it. Perek Chavav, look in Perek Chavav, in Parshas Pinchas. Perek Chavav, Pasuk, Nun Hei. The Torah says in Pinchas, Ach Bigorol, Yecholeg HaSaharetz, Lishmos Matos Avoson Yin Cholu. There's Rashi on the spot. Matos Avoson, ask Rabbi Yonah for that Rashi. Yotsu Gerim Babolim. That's what he's referring to. That Gerim don't have a chelik in Eretz Yisrael. Excellent Kashi that you're asking. Because Gerim, the Sifre says, Ein lehem Avos, Vein lehem Matos. They don't belong to a particular Sheder. And there's no Katsum of Avos. Correct, so that's the problem. How, and by the way, our Pasha also has a similar thing, because even in Baal Oscha, in the Pesukim we just read, Moshe Rabbeinu said, look at the Pasuk here again, also Atein Lachem, Pasuk Chavtes. See what it says, also Atein Lachem, Chazal say, Lachem, below the Gerim. And so Yonah is asking, how did Yisro receive a Chedek in Yisrael? Of course, who discusses this? Yes. Taste of Baal Oscha. Nafayel. Famous Tyson of Abbasra discusses this question. That's why Abbasra is very critical. Because the Gemara here, according to Rashbam, the Gemara actually has a Girsa, Ad Moscha, Vilayat Masger, and Tyson there as a pilpul gobel, a tremendous pilpul in the Rashbam's position. Tyson says that he quotes the position here. Here it is. It used to be here, one second. Oh, this is Sanhedrin, no wonder. Hold on one second, Yonah. Oh! The Alhumma Beis is still here. The Amaskul Mute. So the text has a whole pilpul here in the Rashbam. And at the end of the text, he writes that according to Rabbi Yehuda, in Yerushalmi, Ger Mikurei, a Ger can bring Mikurei, the Basha, Dafka Ger in the Keni Chosei Moshe, only a Ger who's descendant of whom? From Yisrael, because only he can say, Ashenish Hashem Alosenu, Allah says Lanu, because he received the Chelik in Eretz Yisrael. Vaya Tov Ahu, Moshe Rabbeinu told Yisrael, Asher Yetir Hashem Imonu Beit Tavlulach. Here? Okay, but this matter needs a lot more exploration. I'm just showing you in response to your question, and there's a long Rambam about this, and Hilchos Bikurim, you know, the Rambam sheet is that a Ger can bring Bikurim and read the Parsha, because who's the one that's considered to be Av Amol Goyim? Who's the father of all Gerim, as it were? Avram Avinu, correct? Av Amol Goyim is Satikha, and therefore, based on that, a Ger can go ahead and say the Parsha, because they all, under his skirts, so to speak, Anichas Haskam Yashchina. That he's the one who is the father of all Gerim. And the truth is, there's a Mishnah Bikurim that you have to deal with. I assume you learned that Mishnah, Yonah. The Mishnah Bikurim there, in the first paragraph, it says, Ger Meibib Eno Koreh. A Ger brings Bikurim, does not say the Pasha. Why not? Because he can't say, Hashanish Vashem, La Avoseinu, La Sassanu, the Pasha Yisobo. He can't say that. So this is a question that is asked, as I said, by many. And the Rambam seems to be somewhat on Yerushalmi Bikur. Yerushalmi says that Ger is maybe Bikure because Avraham Avinu Zav Hamon Goyin in Satikha. You hear what I'm saying? Because the Rambam somehow does not agree with Tosis. Tosis is Machal between Gerim Avin Akeni and Gerim in general. So you hear what I'm saying to you? There's a distinction between the two types of Gerim. Gerim in the Akeni called Sin Moshe received the share in Eretz Yisrael. And Stam Gerim did not. But the Rambam seems to say no. It applies to all Gerim. The Rambam does not distinguish between, shall we say, Gerim who are in the Akeni called Sin Moshe and other Gerim. Okay, but that's it's a problem. And we know the Rambam passes that Gerim did not take a chelik in Eretz Yisrael. And okay, so this matter, if you take a look at the Kesa Mishnah and the Radvaz, all there in the Hilchos Bikurim, in the Rambam, you'll see the matter is discussed and it needs further attention. Yeah?
The Rambam quoted that Yitro assumed at the second time Moshe asked that you get a chilek why did Yitro think that after the second time and not the first time? Moshe didn't really.
You have to read the psukim carefully. You can take a look at the psukim again. There are two ways to speak to people. Let me just speak psychologically. One is to speak to a person in a very almost impersonal, detached, cold kind of way, and simply indicate to him, listen, come with us because I'm telling you to do so. And I'm telling you to do so because it'll be good for you. That's the first presentation. The second one already is a different tack. Moshe seems to say, as I said, I want you to be my partner. When you approach a person that way, to be a partner, and also, again, the Rambam says, it's not just material goods they're promising, they're giving him a piece of real estate, of Eretz Yisrael. And you obviously want to include him in the entire expedition. So it's a much friendlier and less detached and less impersonal kind of approach. And kind of, yeah, that's why Israel agreed on the second round. That's what Rambam seems to read between the lines of the Pesukim. That's the greatness of Rambam. He read over the lines, under the lines, between the lines. That's the greatest of the Rambam. That's how we have to read the Pesukim. Yes?
But doesn't the Rambam say that Moshe needs to change tact according to his first thing? All Moshe should need to do is say, you have guaranteed his own land.
But apparently Moshe realized that only after he received a very, I would say, cold, impersonal, and detached kind of reaction on the part of Yisrael.
According to the first half of the Rambam, why is Moshe's response? No, you'll get a land also.
Okay, he could have said that, but that would not suffice, because look at the language of Yisrael. Lo elech, period. I am not coming. He didn't say the way you are describing it. Sometimes you encounter people that say, tell me, why should I make Aliyah when I live in Baltimore? I live in Baltimore, Maryland. What could be better than Baltimore, Maryland?
Lakewood.
Or I live in Lakewood, New Jersey. Thank you. Or Teaneck, New Jersey, wherever it may be, or Chicago, wherever it is. Or New York City, I see you now, wherever you are. What could be better than New York? What could be better than Riverdale?
Everywhere?
Riverdale's the city from the Bronx.
It's better.
A long time ago. Bronx, all over my shoulder, but Riverdale's a lot of you kicking.
Because it's paying taxes?
I want to, there's one more parasha I want to examine very, very quickly. And I hope you will permit me to do so. In Parates, on the other page that you have in front of you, this also, I'll just try to make this as good as I can. The Torah here spends an enormous amount of time, and it's just really uncanny. We don't fully understand why the Torah does it. I'm reading Parates, Pasuk Tezvav. Uviyom Hakim Isam Mishkan, Kisa Anon Isam Mishkan, Le'elo Eidos. Tells you the Amon, what its function was, Pasuk Tes Zayin, the Amon covenant during the day, the Eish at night time, and now Yud Zayin. Reading the Pesukim quickly. When the Amud HaAmon, the pillar would rise, the Yachan Echad Yisrael B'nei Yisrael, we would travel. Where we would camp, Yachanu. Then we would stay put. Al Pi Hashem Yisrael B'nei Yisrael, Pi Hashem Yachanu. It was based on Hashem. When he decided one way, we travel. He decided another way, we encamp. Okay, we got the point. What does the Torah do? It continues. Sometimes the Anan will be there. Yami Rabbi, many days. So what do we do? Like you saw, we didn't travel. Okay, we got the point. Torah continues. Sometimes it was X number of days, or X minus Y. So the Torah said, what do we do? What are we, stupid? We got the point! So it was there only what? A very short period of time, from evening to morning. But now in the morning, the Anan ascended, and so we travel. Oh, Yomam Alayla, but now the Anan and so. Excellent. We got it 1,000%. You think the Torah would, shall we say, end at that point in time? No. The Torah continues. I don't have the rest of the sukkahs now in front of me, but I hear this. The Torah then goes on to say, oh, Yomayim HaKadosh Yomim. It didn't tell us enough. Let's say we'll be there 2 days, let's say 1 month. Oh, Yomim, 3 days. Baharich Yomim al Mishkan, Mishkan Olam. As long as it was there, Yachon HaYisrael, we didn't care. Okay, we got it. No, you didn't get it. Al Pi Hashem Yachonu, Al Pi Hashem Yisrael. Mishra Hashem Shamaro, Al Pi Hashem Yadosh. If you want to talk about a situation that is redundant, writ large, or tautological beyond belief, you have it right here. Really? Why? What is going on here? So you have to read the Ramban. Ramban here also, I can't read it inside, but perhaps I will give you Mashal Amad Dabadomim. But see, it's clear. Ramban here tells you a very fundamental yisod, and that's the yisod is that a Jew has to learn to travel, Al Pi Hashem Yachnu, Al Pi Hashem Yisrael, under all circumstances. Could you imagine people traveling for weeks on end? Finally, one day, the Amud HaAnan comes and hovers over the area and they are able to rest. So Baruch Hashem, they now, shall we say, unpack their suitcases, they got their toothbrushes, b'chulu, begin to settle in. 3 hours later, the Anan decides to ascend and they have to travel. So they, once again, have to repack their suitcases, put back the toothbrushes, and now next time the other stops, let's say a day later, they say, oh, we're going to wait a little bit. We're not going to unpack so quickly because clearly we don't know what's going to be. They wait a day, a two, a three, a four, a five, a week, a two, a three, a four, a five, a month, three, four, five, six, okay, we better unpack. They unpack? That night, the other decides to, and they have to travel on. What did you try to do, Moshe Rabbeinu? Give us a nervous breakdown? And they would have a nervous breakdown, if not for one basic fundamental idea, namely, Al Pi Hashem Yachnu. That's what Ramban writes here in the Bible. Moshe Lamad Domeh. And this I relate to. I come home after a full day of Yeshiva Torah Shraga, and the company of some outstanding Bachrim in Torah, just beyond belief. And I hope to add a little bit of Nuchas HaNefesh. And the moment I sit down, a Meshulach Nudnik comes to my door. And I answer the door, accidentally. And he comes. I take a look at him, he takes a look at me. He doesn't look too happy. I look even more unhappy. And I think he should get the message. That means he should exude as quickly as possible. But he doesn't. He tells me, I have a problem, X, Y, and Z, whatever it may be, and I'm in a desperate situation, I'm in straitened circumstances, I need help, financial, and after a half hour of that, he tells me, and by the way, I didn't have supper yet. Perhaps you would like to invite me for supper. And before I invite him for supper, he simply walks into the house and proceeds to, essentially, eat my supper. And he eats my supper, and I'm there, observing him. Essentially what I like to do is pulverize him, eliminate him, eviscerate him, perhaps even shecht him, and divide him, quarter him into 12 segments, and send one segment to each of the shittis. But I can't do that, because I'm very polite, and I'm big machnas orchim, and of course we have to invite people to come into our house. And then after supper, he asked me, do you have dessert? And I look at him, and inside I'm saying, I want to kill you. So of course I have a smile on my face. I can't kill my oreach. That would not be a nice thing to do. And then after dessert, he says to me, he needs something to drink. And of course I get him a few drinks. Then I think by now, 11:30, quarter to 12, he will leave. And he says, let me tell you my life story. I'm interested in hearing his life story as much as my interest in hearing about Mr. Magoo. Said, Mr. Magoo is the more interesting. And he proceeds to tell me his life story. At about 1:45, he finally leaves. I usher him out the door, Kimat slammed the door on him. Of course, I'm polite, because I'm a nice host. And he leaves, and I say, you... You destroyed my all night! You nincompoop! You I don't know what! Etc., etc., etc. And I'm actually exasperated beyond belief. And simply, I came, I wanted to have some Lucas Anevish, and this fellow simply, he did me in. I will never let you in again, you blankety blank. And I go to sleep in a terrible state. But imagine a few moments earlier, prior to his arrival, I had received some sort of a Western Union telegram saying I'm about to have a guest, a visitor, and fulfill Achnasas Achim, signed by the Almighty. HaKadosh Baruch Hu signs this Western Union telegram and tells me I'm about to receive this guest. The guy knocks on the door. I would open up the door. All of a sudden there would be a red carpet. All of a sudden, what would you like to have first? Come in. Be my guest. Come. Sit on my couch. Let me give you a few hors d'oeuvres. And perhaps have a drink or two along the way so that you feel comfortable. Feel part of the scene. And then I would wine him and dine him the rest of the night. And why is that so? Because I received the Western Union telegram from the Almighty. And clearly that means the Ratzon Hashem. And that's what the Torah here is underscoring. That even though you have situations and the Torah is describing every almost imaginable scenario that could have occurred in the course of their traveling, but as I said, if not for Alpi Hashem Yachna, Alpi Hashem Yisov, trust me, you would have had 6 nervous breakdowns. You would need 7 psychotherapists, 7 psychiatrists, and maybe even, I don't know who else, the Boston Rebbe, to go ahead and resolve your issues. Or some other Admor, who's capable of somehow dealing with tempestuous situations. That's the finish of the term. That's a very important finish. Everything we do, we have to see it in terms of Ratzon Hashem. And even this Ludnik is Ratzon Hashem. That Meshulah who comes to my door. Without the Western Union telegram, we don't necessarily see it as such. So even without the Western Union telegram, we have to recognize whatever happens in our lives is Ratzon Hashem. That's exactly what the Torah is underscoring here by describing so many different scenarios. And the one who really spells it out is the Ramban. The Ramban right there, you'll read it inside, I hope maybe you will, and you'll see the beauty of the Ramban. And I know myself, again, the only thing, as I say, I have one thing over you, and that's called age. You know, they say age before beauty. And because of age, ain't talking about me, son. You acquire a lot of experiences in life. And today, everything I see is Ratzon Hashem. I'm just literally surrounded by it. Every aspect of my life, I see Ratzon Hashem. Even what happened the last day or two, we were just looking at the granddaughter last night, about 3 o'clock in the morning. Another very fascinating parasha. The baby was born in the house, of course, not in the hospital. He just suddenly decided to, how shall we say, drop or emerge. And without, shall we say, giving sufficient warning. And Bechlau, there are many, many different trials and tribulations that people have in life. But everything has to be seen as Ratzon Hashem. If you're able to do that, trust me, you'll have a much smoother sailing in life than you would have had otherwise. That's the key. The key is Al Pi Hashem Yachnu, Al Pi Hashem Yisov. Halavai Mishim Yisov.